Ce podcast est une production La Parlotte.
Thanks for joining us, Mr. McLean.
My pleasure.
We just have a few minutes, so we'll go with the question straight to the point. First one, you was one of the last stand-up goalie in the NHL. When you saw the new generation with Marty Brodeur, Patrick Roy, and this kind of with the butterfly style, did you try to adapt your style?
I did. I could, you know, butterfly was in my arsenal, if you will. I grew up. My heroes were Jacques Plante and Bernie Parent, so that, you know, mostly stand up for those two. But then I had influences like Mike Palmateer, where I grew up in Toronto. So bringing in the butterfly style, I could butterfly if I had to, or I wanted to. But my philosophy was to stand up as long as you could and force the player to make the first move, really.
Okay.
And if I needed to react quickly or cover the bottom part of the net, I could butterfly. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to talk about the save.
Okay.
Right? That was so amazing.
Yeah.
What went through your head when you did that amazing save?
Well, we were taught as kids, you know, coming up, the two-pad slide or the two-pad stack was part of your arsenal as well, as part of your move. So it was something that we used. It was kind of a desperation move because it was your last option. After cutting the angles down and having to get over as quickly as you can, and of course it's meant to cover the lower part of the net, and it's just a reaction save, and the save against Calgary was exactly that. It was pretty much a 3-on-1 with Theo Fleury was the puck carrier, and being as nifty as he was, and he had options of shooting the puck, which he did earlier in the game and actually scored between my legs.
Okay.
So you're thinking about that as well. And then the options to drop it back or pass it across. And Jyrki Luumäki, I believe, was the defenseman at the time, played it perfectly. He just, he stayed in the middle and forced the pass, and I was able to anticipate that pass and time it at the perfect time. So, and of course, we all know what happened. It worked out for the best. We went on to win the game and the series.
Yeah, such a great save.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so did you stay close with the Canucks organization, and how do you see the situation now? It seems that for the longest time, like you've been talking about Vancouver as odd, it's their year.
Yes.
It's their year,
yes.
Like with all the young talents coming up. So,
yeah.
So did you stay close to the organization?
Yeah, I'm still, I work for the organization.
Okay.
I'm so the official team ambassador.
Okay.
So, is not just shaking hands and kissing babies.
You're not politician.
I mean, it's part of it, but it's a fun job, but it's serious because, I'm at every home game. I don't watch a lot of it because I'm doing my thing within the corporate side of it, and of course the season ticket holders and what happens. But you're collecting information, so you're getting feedback from them on the other side of the business, not the stuff that's on the ice. The corporate side of it, of what they can do better with this and this and this and that. So that's very interesting to me, but. Yes, I do follow the team and watch what they're doing on ice. And you're right. I mean, there was, in the 2011, obviously they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, which they should have won.
Yeah.
Which was very disappointing, obviously. But then that era of player, the Sedins, slowly, ending their career. But now we have the Hughes and the Pettersons and, Demko and Nett, who's, one of my favorites in the league. And, of course, JT Miller. So they have lots of talent. Mm-hmm. and they just haven't really reached their potential as far as getting over that hump as a top-notch team in the league. They seem to get off to poor starts, and that puts them into a bit of a hole. And we know now in this league, it's so compatible. It's tough to get out of that. You know, you need to get off to good starts and get your points and establish yourself and get that confidence to continue on. So, you know, we made a coaching change, near the end of last year. And I think with Tockett and Adam Foote and Gonchar, you know, the likes of that, they're obviously very experienced winners. You know, they've won multiple Stanley Cups between the three of them. And we're you know, obviously very good hockey players back in their day. So I think it's a good move. You know, Bruce Boudreau, when he was there, he did well for the team. You know, I think it's what they needed at the time, a little different personality, and they went on a fantastic run. But I think it was they needed some more structure. You hear that all the time out of Vancouver, but it's true. They needed somebody to come in and they need an identity. You know, the team. It's not tough, as tough as it used to be coming into Rogers Arena for other teams to play. I mean, they need to establish themselves and make it tough for teams coming into Vancouver to play. So I think they're on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Right. Excellent.
Vancouver is you have Emily Castonguay.
The co-GM is Emily Castonguay.
Oh, yes.
It's the first woman, girl to have this kind of job in the NHL. What that change for the Canucks Vancouver?
Yeah, well, I think she concentrates because she was a player agent. Mm-hmm. She's a lawyer. Yeah. So I think she concentrates more on the contract, the business side of it. And then we have the likes of Cammy Granato, who's there as well, who obviously was a world-class hockey player, hockey Hall of Famer, that is more involved with the hockey side and the player development. I think most of the scouting staff report to her, mm-hmm. With what they need to do, so it's great to see. And
yeah, it's pretty cool to have an organization with that kind of mentality.
Absolutely, and I don't think it's going to stop there. I think you're going to see
it's just the beginning,
and it should be, because you know these women that are becoming involved are smart. They know the game. Like I said, especially the ones that have played the game are very good at it, and you're seeing it now on TV telecasts and radio telecasts, and they have very, very good insights on the game, and it's enjoyable to listen to or to watch on TV.
Yeah, they have another way to see the game that men don't have.
Absolutely, so. and they bring something different, but they also are their hockey intelligence is very good.
Yeah.
So yeah,
thank you, Mr. McLean.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.